My name is Noreen Gosh. My son Johnny was kidnapped 30 years ago. I will never see him again. Following Johnny's kidnapping, there was Eugene Martin and Mark Allen from Des Moines, all three boys taken senselessly 2 years apart, and none of them have been found. I have been in support of the death penalty, but we're now going to be calling it capital justice, for many, many years before my son was kidnapped. And it was based on another case in another part of Iowa when I was in high school. And I felt at that time that there needed to be swifter and stronger justice as a deterrent for this crime. Today, we met with the governor. It was a very good meeting about what might be possible, what we can do together to start protecting our children, because like it or not, Iowa has a kidnapping problem. We have research being done, and it is pulling out all the names of all of the kids who have been abducted and kidnapped. Either one, it's a different set of criteria for abduction or kidnapping, and the ones that have been murdered. And it is far more than you think. There's many on the list that never receive publicity. People just don't know about the cases. And we will have all that compiled to put in the hands of the governor and Senator Sorensen in the very near future. Thank you again for attending today. We very, really appreciate it. And I'm going to turn it over. We have four families represented today who each have had their child kidnapped and will never see our children again. And each parent will step up, introduce themselves, and then speak about their child. And then at the end, we will all be happy to take questions. Thank you.
My name is Andrew Christie, as father of Evelyn Miller, who went missing in July of 2005. I'm just in support of capital justice, not so much as a deterrent, but more so as justice. These people are committing crimes, and they have nothing to lose by going from kidnapping to murder. So that's why I'm in support. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Adonis Hill, and my daughter Donisha Hill was taken from Waterloo, Iowa, and murdered in Galena, Illinois, in October of 2006. I'm just here to support the Collins family and seek in reference to capital justice. It's not much more I have to say. I'm just here to support and do the best I can, having gone down this road myself not too long ago. So that is all I have to say.
I'm Heather and Drew Collins, and our daughter Elizabeth Collins and our niece Lyric Cook were taken on July 13th of 2012. And they were found dead, murdered on December 5th of 2012. We are here today supporting the rest of the families and for capital justice. We feel that once somebody has done this, they will do it again. I'm giving them a lighter sentence, and that kind of stuff isn't going to do any good. It keeps recurring over and over again. Our childs keep coming up missing, and it has to stop. Enough is enough. As Adonis Hill has said, it's enough is enough. Our children need to be protected because they're not being protected enough. We have so many thousands of cases. You know, a year, I think there's 800,000 kids go missing every year. And we just need stronger penalties. And that is why we are here today.
I'm Senator Kent Sorensen, and I welcomed all the families here to the Capitol today. It's very hard to listen to their stories and try and decide what type of legislation we're going to draft going forward. There's a lot of conversations out there talking about if this actually has an opportunity to pass or not, given the makeup of the current legislature. I made it very clear to the families that this is going to be an uphill fight. This is something that I'm kind of late to the fight in. I've served 4 years in the legislature and have not really focused on this particular issue. I was asked to do an interview, and I did it, and I said how I felt, and that's what pushed me to this position. The families have reached out to me, and I'm willing to help them. I believe the victims need somebody fighting for them here at the Capitol, and I believe their voices will scream loud the next 2 years while we're fighting this fight. This isn't something that I've taken lightly. I have 6 beautiful kids. I can't imagine being in the position they're in right now. And I don't know if I would have the strength to be here like they are. And I think they need to be committed for that. I'm sure there's going to be a wave of people that are upset with this particular legislation. And I've made it very clear to them that it's an uphill fight. And there's going to be people that lash out on both sides of the issue. I don't want to make this a political fight. I want this to be about capital justice, about protecting Iowa's children. From the short period of June of 2012 to October of 2012, there was 42 attempted abductions in Iowa. That's just insane that we're living in a society like that. Obviously, what we're doing in the state is not working. We need to look at legislation to improve the quality of life for our children, their safety. And I'm willing to have that fight. I'm willing to have that discussion. Are we hopeful that it'll pass? Yes. Do we expect it to pass? It's going to be a fight. But I believe there's a lot of people across the state that's willing to engage in that fight. And I'm happy I shouldn't say I'm happy. I'm honored to be fighting along beside these people. And I believe they deserve somebody up here fighting on their behalf. And I'm going to be that person. And I think we'll take questions now.
Senator?
Yes.
In regards to the breadth of your legislation, some of the concern that the Collins family has expressed recently is not only about capital punishment, but about the sentencing for repeat sex offenders. Is that going to be part of your legislation or a separate piece of legislation?
My plan is to have a three-prong approach. One, dealing with punishment for somebody that has not committed a capital justice offense. And there's other states that has legislation that I'm looking at. That'll be one prong of the approach. The other will be for someone that committed a double Class A felony that has no reason to allow the victim to live. In fact, that person is probably, it has a better chance of getting away if they don't. That's insane. And the fact that we have that in the state almost gives the criminals a reason to do it. That's something we discussed about with the governor. So we have two options there. Do we weaken the crime for kidnapping and molesting, or do we increase the punishment for murder? And I think our only option is to increase the punishment for murder. So that'll be the second prong, or the first prong, however you want to look at it. And the third will be, I know that there's legislation coming out that is dealing with the cousins law, they call it. And I will be supportive of that as well, but I also want to look at other options of tracking offenders when they leave prison. I want to look at other options of implementing maybe public assistance. I know one thing that we talked about with the governor, I suggested that leading up to the hunting season, we had the DNR issue a press release asking hunters to watch, to cover their area well when they walk and look for these children. Well, why did we wait till the hunting season to do this? Why don't we maybe look at implementing a option on a hunting license where a person can volunteer to be called or text or receive some type of notification that when an incident like this happens, we go out and search our hunting grounds all across the state? That's something I'm looking at introducing as well. So it's not going to be just singly focused on the death penalty or capital justice. It is going to be focused on preventing, deterring, and then punishing criminals.
The governor's expressed support for a limited death penalty bill. What, you know, if you came up with something like that, it limited in what way? Would it apply, say, to children only? Would it apply in case of the commission of another felony like kidnapping? I mean, how could you limit it perhaps to pick up some support when I'm not sure there would be support for just a return to a death penalty bill for first degree murder?
Well, that's something we've had great discussions about with the governor, and we're going to actually, concluding this press conference, I'm going to be meeting with my caucus staffer and some members of my caucus to help draft legislation to come up with some ideas. I believe my full intention is to limit it to somebody that, a similar case to what we just had, somebody that committed a double class A felony that's not looking at ever leaving prison to begin with, if convicted, but giving them a reason to allow the victims to live rather than trying to cover their tracks.
So you're talking about doing the same thing as Branson is talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the governor and I believe are on the same page on this.
Could the Collins family get towards the microphone so we can ask them?
Sure.
How would you suggest that the death penalty be carried out? Should they hang people injection, lethal injection or electrocution?
That has not been determined yet. That's legislation we're going to be working on, the exact details of that. Right now it's in an infancy stage, but that's something we're going to be working on over the next few weeks. And I believe somebody had some questions for the family members.
Yours is the most recent case. I mean, why in your minds do you think that perhaps whoever perpetrated this would have had second thoughts if there was a death penalty?
When they took the girls into the woods, as soon as they kidnapped them, they were getting life in prison. If they let them go, they still have life in prison. If they murdered them, they still got life in prison. If they were looking at it as what could be the consequences of, well, if I let them go, I won't face a death penalty if I'm caught. Or in our case, we don't have that. They get the same exact thing, so there's no reason for them to let them go. It's actually safer for them to kill them and hope that they can't identify him. When that person took them in the woods there was no, he wasn't going to get any lighter of a sentence if he let him go. He was going for life for kidnapping. But if in this case, if we had the death penalty, he could think, well, if I murder him, I'm going to get the death penalty, so maybe I should let him go. There's no incentive for him to let them live. The incentive is that I better cover this crime up or I'll do life in prison. If I murder him, I'm going to do life in prison too. And these people that, are against capital justice, I mean, these guys, they get to go visit. These guys go to prison for this. Their family gets to visit them. I'll never get to visit my niece and I'll never get to visit my daughter. They don't deserve to live. They don't.
At the time they're committing a crime, though, but are these criminals even thinking that way?
I can't tell you what they're thinking because I don't think like they do.
Could I address that one?
Just real quickly, before Noreen speaks, I'd like to make a comment on that. There's two issues at hand here. Not only do we have somebody that murdered their children, if they end up in prison, they're taking their tax dollars and feeding them and housing them. That, to me, that's immoral. In an instance like this, it's just immoral. It's not a matter of what the criminal's thinking. It's about capital justice.
You asked if the criminals are even thinking that. In 2008, there was a little girl kidnapped, viciously attacked, and murdered near Iowa City. The man who did it was from Missouri, but knew the family and was up here visiting some folks. Took the little girl, headed south. All of a sudden, he pulled off the road, took her into a cornfield, viciously attacked her, and murdered her. Then he came back up to the Iowa City area, and he went out on the searches, trying to find her. Good Samaritan type of guy. Sheriff noticed he was acting a little strange, So they did pull him in for questioning. Then all the truth came out. So the law enforcement, who did a very good job there, said to him, well, why did you kill her in Iowa? You live in Missouri. You were headed to Missouri. He was within just a few miles of the border. And he said, well, if I'd have taken her into Missouri, we've got the death penalty. If I got caught, I'd die. He knew. There are criminals who do know the difference. And Iowa is one state in the center of Midwest states that touch us that they all have the death penalty. Whether we like to admit it or not, Iowa has a kidnapping problem. We're doing research right now, and we're pulling up all the records of all the kidnapped children. There's a lot of them. Justice needs to prevail, and we need to take a stand to protect the children, not the criminal. That man, that killer, that kidnapper in near Iowa City took that little girl. He knew the difference. He knew we did not have the death penalty, so at least he wouldn't die by killing her in Iowa.
Could Adonis Hill address that question? Your daughter's killer took her to Illinois, which at that time was a death penalty state.
Yes, sir.
Did it make any difference in that case to him?
I don't believe it did. I don't know what he knew as to why he drove her to Illinois, so I can't answer that for you either. Sorry.
But for you, Adonis, you've dealt with sort of the backlash of the fact that Illinois has now gone through this whole process of appeals and the uncertainty of the court. So
yes.
It's a whole new chapter of pain that can be established if the death penalty were to be enacted here in Iowa.
It is. I said if it's, you know, done properly and all evidence points to the killer, then it should be done swiftly. Shouldn't be a 5-year grace period, you know. I mean, again, I have those pictures of my daughter etched in my brain, and the brutality of it is overwhelming. So if I could get a chance to do it the way they did it, I mean, I would. But if I can't have my way, then I guess it serves no purpose.
You're going to have to refresh my memory, but did the prosecutor in Illinois not seek the death penalty?
They did.
He did not seek it?
He did seek the death penalty. Okay. David Dam was given the death penalty. Then it was overturned or commuted, then, you know, a couple of years later with the new governor taking office.
So, yes. From your perspective, does it make it harder to know that he's still able to live and, you know, do the things that most of us need to do?
I mean, not having Dinesha makes it hard any day, but the fact that they're still breathing and, you know, they're being well taken care of, that bothers me. Like I said, you know, no holidays, you know, your first everything has been stripped from you, so he still carries out, you know, his life with few worries, you know, so it's just heartbreaking.
In light of what you all have gone through, did your personal feelings change about the death penalty, or were you, obviously not something you probably thought of in this context, obviously, but did your opinions change through this, or have you always thought like this despite what had happened to you?
I have personally always thought that it should be, that, you know, Iowa should have it as a deterrent. I just think that what we're doing right now is not working. And for us to sit around and just say, oh, that's too bad, and not do anything about it, and then it just continues to happen again and again. Noreen, 30 years ago to today, we just sit every time it happens, we hear it on the news, and we just go, oh, that's too bad, that's terrible, you know. But we've done nothing to change what's happening. And it's just, to me, it's criminal that we don't protect our children. I mean, if we don't protect our own children, I mean, what are we as a society? I mean, we have to protect our children. That should be on, you know, anybody that has a granddaughter or a niece or a nephew or a daughter, anybody should feel the same way. We have to protect our children, whether we are, you know, Democrats or Republicans. You know, what we're doing hasn't worked. We need to change what we're doing, because it just continues to happen. And this year, I mean, look at all the attempted kidnappings. It's almost like Iowa is a safe place to kidnap kids, and these people know it.
And to answer your question, I was not for the death penalty. I never have been. Ask him. I'm not. But after watching and after hearing all of the kidnappings and all the killings of our children, and these people have no remorse. They're sitting in prison for life for killing one of our children, and they have no remorse about it. They get to celebrate every holiday with their family coming in to see them at prison. They get to celebrate every birthday with birthday cards and with their family. You know, even though they're in prison, they still get to celebrate with their family.
Celebrating life.
They're still celebrating life. And our children and other people's children are no longer able to do that. And that is just a shame and a crime. And I am totally for our new proposal of, you know, it's just, and it was hard for me. I had to really think about it because I've been stuck on it for many years of no death penalty. But I've done a lot of research and talked to a lot of people about it. A lot of people whose kids have been taken out and murdered, and I feel that this is what needs to be done.
Senator, what's going to be the difference this time around? Is it the faces to go with it? I mean, we've had a lot of these faces for a while now, but what's going to make the difference?
You know, I wasn't here in the 90s. In the 90s, I was young, and I was not part of the legislative process. So I'm not sure what the difference will be. I'm just telling you, listen, when I get latched onto something, I'm latched onto it, and I'm latched onto this issue now. I feel like somebody has to be a voice for these people. The fact that they called two or three people before anybody would go on record to discuss this is just insane, as a legislature as well. And I decided to do an interview, and that's what started this whole ball. And I think people need to stand up and take note that what is going on in our state, that we've had 42 abductions from June until October. Your child was one of those.
And you don't want to see any new faces up here, do you?
And so here's what I can tell you. I will fight as hard as I can for this family and for all these families and for the children of Iowa. Do I believe we'll pass legislation? I don't know. When you get elected, you come up here to fight for a set of ideas and principles that you believe in. You come up here to represent people, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going to represent these people. They may not live in my district. There's people in my district that agree with me, and there's a lot of children in my district, and it's my job to fight for issues that I believe in, and so that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm happy to find out this morning on my way up here, I have two people in the majority party in the Iowa House that's going to be co-sponsoring this legislation. When I put my bill in, I'm going to file a companion bill. I have two people in the House that's already willing to sponsor it. I've heard from numerous people in my own caucus that want to be part of this fight. I've heard from numerous people across the state, whether it's Republican or Democrat, this transcend party line. It shouldn't be a Republican and a Democrat issue. It should be an issue about protecting our children, making a safe state. You know, let the other states deal with this, but if you live in the state of Iowa, we are going to fight for your children.
Heather, you're from, you know, the very beginning, in the very short time after the girls went missing, you said, you know, we've got to do things to keep their memories, their names, their faces mm-hmm. alive. Is this kind of the next step in that, to, you know, do what you can do on behalf of those girls to make sure that their, you know, deaths aren't in vain, essentially?
Yes, it is. It is. We actually had talked about it, you know. We have to do something to keep Elizabeth and Lyric's name will not go in vain. They will not be forgotten. These other families will not be forgotten.
And we also have to Noreen told me we have to pay it forward, is what she's doing right now with us. And what we're going to do is we're going to pay it forward for the next people that have to go through this. So we're going to fight. it may not pass this time, but we're going to fight and we're not going to give up.
Andrew, can I ask, how have your thoughts on this evolved? You had to wait 5 years for someone to be arrested in the death of your daughter, someone that you know. Can you just kind of speak to that?
I've always been for capital punishment, and especially in cases like these, where it's someone who has committed a crime, and then they're committing more of a heinous crime to cover that crime. To me, it's obviously to me it's personal, and. Especially in my case, I would like to see capital justice happen.
As we sit here right now, what would you draw out of the bill? I mean, if we're going for something limited, I mean, you know, what would be sort of the ABC kind of circumstances that would, you know, upgrade that to a capital crime?
Well, I think we've already, I already laid part of that out earlier in the press conference. It's going to be at least a minimum of a class AA. Felony, where somebody that's already facing life in prison, and give them an incentive to maybe allow the victim to live. Now, will this save every life? I can honestly tell you, I don't believe it would save every life, but could this save some lives? I believe it could. You know, you asked earlier, you were trying to bring a comparison to the cases up here about one man that was his daughter was taken to another state, and then another person that stayed in Iowa because of this. The fact that, will it save every life? Should we not pass it because it's not going to save every life? Absolutely not. What if it saves one life? Is it worth it? I say yes.
So that's the highest classification right now. You're proposing a class AA, which would be how you would cover this?
Listen, like I told you, this is in the infancy stage. Rather than sit here and speculate and then later change our opinion, I think at this point in time, I'm telling you we're going to pursue some type of legislation. We're going to draft that. It's going to be focused primarily on two Class A felonies, but to give you exact terminology, I can't do that at this time. But there will come a point in time, and I believe we'll have another press conference to unveil the legislation once we have it drafted.
Senator, you said you spoke to some of the majority members in the House.
Yes.
What about the majority members in your chamber, and who do you think you need to speak to get this done, and will you?
I will welcome any conversations that they have, that they want to have. That's something, as the legislative session draws near, which we're in that phase, and we'll be having meetings. I will be reaching out to some members of their caucus that I have relationships with. But, you know, really, it's I'm going to rely a lot on the people in this room to organize across the state and bring people in to talk to the majority members in the Senate from their districts, and that's really what it's going to take. I mean, I can go and talk to them, but it's going to take people from Iowa rising up and saying this is something we need. If you know, I've seen a lot of opinion polls on a lot of your guys' websites, and if you go and look, whether it's Channel 13 or Channel 8 or whoever it is in the metro area that's done it, I believe people are very vocal that they support this, and I believe, and there's of course there's some vocal opposition as well, but you know, the people that I speak to are more in favor than opposing it. Obviously, what we're doing is not working. We have to do something different.
Nobody specifically in the Senate Democrats, though, that you think would be the critical vote to?
Well, you know, I can tell you that in the 90s, I mean, I was told that Dennis Black supported the death penalty. I haven't spoke to him, but I was told that. It's something that we're going to pursue. Obviously, I need to get the bill drafted before I can expect anybody to support it. And so that's something I'm going to be doing. Actually, following this meeting, we're having a meeting with my caucus staff. We're standing in the back. We're going to be going over issues with the family. We're trying to sculpt multiple pieces of legislation that's going to be introduced, whether it's improving the Amber Alert process, whether it's improving the tracking of these animals that are released, whether it's increasing penalties for someone that has not committed a capital offense, or the capital justice that we're talking about. So we're looking at a multi-pronged approach. We're going to be drafting multiple pieces of legislation to deal with that.
Did you ask anything, Senator, of the governor himself? He could be a prominent voice to join with you all to make this happen in the limited cases that he wants. that he wants as well. Was that discussed at all to have him take a more active role?
That's something that may come in the future. We haven't went down that path. Today was an initial meeting that we spoke with the governor. I don't think the governor's position has changed. I mean, he's been in Iowa politics for a long time, and I don't think his position has changed. I believe that everybody in this room knows that he supports this type of legislation. Really, it's not at the feet of Governor Branstad for it to pass. It's going to end up at the feet of Mike Gronsall, and that's exactly where we will take the fight.
Heather, here you guys talked Thursday about forgiveness versus justice. What would this do if this were to go through, if the perpetrator were to be put to death? What would that do for you guys in this situation?
I don't think it'll it probably won't work towards our case at all. From the beginning, we've said we forgive this person or these people. But we're doing right now is paying it forward and hoping that, you know, maybe if this is in place, that the next person that does this will let the children go or the child go. So it has this has nothing to do with our case, because I'm sure they can't go back on it anyways. This is paying it forward for the next parents, and so that justice can be done. You know, we can forgive somebody, but they still need to be punished for what they've done. So, you know, to say that, you know, some people are saying, well, how can you say you're for the death penalty and then also say you're being forgiving, you forgive them, we forgive them. But they need to face justice, and this is something we feel that needs to be done, because, like I said, they have no reason to let them go. There's nothing to gain by letting the children live. And so all we're doing now, this won't, I'm sure, affect our case, but it'll affect the next case. And like Adonis just said a little bit ago, you know, about wanting to see other faces up here. You know, we don't want to see any other families go through this. And we know it's going to happen again. And there's probably going to happen until the end of time. But, you know, we need to do something to change what's being done and how these people are let back into society, how they're punished, and pay it forward.
And just to make it better for the next family. And really, forgiveness is for me and Drew. To know that we forgive the person who has done this to our daughter and our niece. It's really for us, because if you don't forgive somebody for what they have done, it's kind of hard to explain the feeling. You hold hate, and God doesn't want that hate to build up. And then you just hold all this anger inside of you.
It's hard enough.
Yeah, it's hard enough.
It's hard enough if you forgive. If you don't have forgiveness, then it's impossible to go forward, because you hold on to that, and it just snowballs and makes it bigger.
It'll just consume us if we don't forgive them. It'll continue to consume us, and that's how we both operate. We just, you know. We said it from day one, and we'll continue to say it, is that we forgive them. But, you know, there do need to be more changes. We do need to protect our children, because they are not protected nowhere near enough.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out. And I just recommend stay alert. We'll be sending out some type of press release with our legislation draft when we have it, and I foresee a future press conference with families as well.